This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran describes the impact that the Quran has when he said, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That if we were to send this Quran down upon a mountaintop, you would see the mountain becoming humbled out of the fear of Allah. This is the impact that the Quran has upon a mountain. So what about us as individuals? If this is how it affects a mountain, how should it affect us, the Quran? When you look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Urwa ibn Zubayr, he said he asked his grandmother Asma bint Abi Bakr, how were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it came to the Quran? She said that their eyes would water and their skin would shiver, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the verses in the Quran. Also, Abdullah ibn Umar al-Khattab radiallahu an, he heard an individual reading the Quran, praying the night prayer, when he came in the verses in Surah At-Tur, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi, ma lahu min dafi', that indeed the punishment of your Lord is coming, and there's nothing that can divert it. And he heard it and he said, you know, what a truthful reminder, radiallahu anhu. And he said he went back to his house and he remained for an entire month, and he was ill, and people would visit him not knowing what his illness was from, but it was from the impact that these ayat had upon him. And like this, the Salaf after them, Imam al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was reading and leading the prayer when he came, and he was reading from Surah At-Takathur. And Surah At-Takathur, who from us has not memorized it? Probably nobody in this room, except all of us, have memorized Surah At-Takathur, right? So when he started off reading the surah, until he reached لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, that indeed you will see the hellfire, that he started to cry hysterically. And he couldn't continue in the prayer. And his son Ali, he was also like his father when it came to the khashiyah and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said he passed out. During the prayer he passed out and he couldn't continue. And Al-Fudayl eventually was able to continue in the salat, but they said he led them in a prayer. He was very, you know, you could see the fear that he had. And Ali, his son, rahimahullah, didn't wake up until around midnight. This is al-Maghrib time. So here you'll see the impact that the Quran had on them. Now the question we have for ourselves is, for us, what's missing? Meaning, how many of us have actually cried when we heard the Quran? And if we've cried, maybe it was once, maybe if we're lucky, twice. But you'll find that for most of us, it's a very rare occurrence, probably very rarely happens, or never happens. So here, the Quran is the same Quran that they had. So why are they so, the impact is so strong and so great for them? But for us, we read it, we memorize it, we listen to it, and it has no impact on us. One of the reasons, there's several reasons why, and we'll talk about that in a bit, inshallah, in a bit more detail, about why we don't benefit from the Quran. Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu an, he said that if the hearts were pure, they would never be satisfied from reading the Quran. If the hearts were pure, they would never be satisfied, meaning they want more, to constantly read more of the Quran. They would always want more of the Quran. Never being satisfied, meaning if you read one page, two pages, you want three and four. Because you always want to read more of the Quran. So it goes back to a lot of the times, the situation of our hearts and the sins, alaykum salam to Allah, as we will discuss in a bit of detail, inshallah ta'ala. Many of us have fallen into abandoning the Quran. And if we were to ask ourselves, honestly, how many of us read the Quran today? Maybe some of us would say we read Surah Al-Kahf. MashaAllah, that's the... But how many, after Fajr, read a few pages? And I don't want to put people on the spot, but I mean, if we want to be honest with ourselves, we'll find many of us, we hadn't read the Quran today. And we say, "What? Okay, what about yesterday? What about last week?" If we just ask ourselves honestly, each one of us, to sit down and say, how many pages of the Quran did we read from last Jummah to this Jummah? And you'll find that the answer for almost the majority, almost all of us, would be catastrophic, the numbers. Even brothers who are practicing, brothers who are serious about their deen, you'll find that when it comes to the Quran, we're not making the effort. We're not reading the Quran. So one of the main things is our heart, and we need to be aware that we don't fall into abandoning the Quran. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned how many types of abandoning the Quran. I think it's a famous statement. Who knows? He said the abandonment of the Quran, there's different types. And a very, very famous statement. How many types did he mention? Who knows? Somebody said another one? Let me say something. Suddenly. Khamsa, five different types. And it's something, subhanAllah, that we might hear, we've heard before. But what I want all of us to do, as I'm going to mention them now, I want us to grade ourselves. Each one knows himself. So when I say this type of hajar of the Quran or abandonment of the Quran, and you give yourself so we can do it like in the school, you know, 100% grade. Each one of the five will say 20%. If you were to rank yourself, for example, say brother gets 10 on the first one, 15 on the second one, 20 on the next, 5 on the fourth, and see out of 100%, how many, where are you with the Quran when it comes to abandoning the Quran? The first type, he said, to abandon listening and believing in the Quran. Just listening to the Quran. How many of us, how much time do we spend in listening to the Quran? Even though, wallahi akhwan, this is one of the great blessings that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability to listen to the Quran. When it comes time to go to work, coming from work, and you're listening. I remember back in the day of the days of the cassette tape. Well, what seems like the golden ages now, and a long time ago. And you ask the young kids now about the cassette tape, they're like, what was that? They have no clue what it is, you know? And for us, it was just something just recent, subhanAllah. I remember that one of my favorite qadis, his mushaf, there was 18 cassette tapes. So I would start from 1 all the way to 18, going, coming back from work. How many times did I listen? Alhamdulillah. Because it's something easy. And then, subhanAllah, what you're getting as one of the things I want to mention as well, and it's putting you in peace when you're driving in the car. How many of us now, we take advantage of having them on our phones? Many times now, when we go to the airport, we arrive, the main thing we want to do is we're just on the phone and looking. And most of the stuff's not beneficial. Always what I tell some of the brothers, always have my headphones with me, alhamdulillah. Take out the headphones, put them in. As I'm waiting in the immigration line, I'm listening to the Quran, alhamdulillah. It's an opportunity. So we need to rate ourselves when it comes to our listening in the Quran. Obviously, believing in it, hopefully, inshallah, all of us, we have strong belief. But when it comes to listening, perhaps we have an issue. The second type of abandoning the Quran, when it comes to acting upon it, meaning by acting upon that which is lawful and staying away from that which is prohibited. Doing that which is halal, following the commands, staying away from that which is haram, that which you've been told to stay away from. How many of us, what is our grade when it comes to that, when it comes to acting upon the Quran? And the third type, when it comes to abandoning judging by it, and going back to it for the ruling, for implementing our religion. At-tahakum ila al-Qur'an. Going back and seeing what is the rulings of the Qur'an, implementing it. And we're talking about many people who say want to implement it. So you look at the governments, implement it yourself first. And we're talking about, does this government or that government implement the Qur'an? What about you? What about yourself? Always look at yourself first. Because Allah is going to ask us, the first thing at Yawm al-Qiyamah, He's going to ask us about ourselves. Did you rule by the Qur'an in your house and what you could have ruled by? The fourth type is when it comes to the tadabbur. That's what we're talking about today, inshallah. Our lessons, our two lessons that we have here today, is going to be an introduction to the tadabbur, reflecting and pondering on the Quran. This is what the Quran was sent down for. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayk, mubarak, to do what with it? Liyadabbur ayati. To reflect on its ayat. A blessed book we have sent down to you to reflect on its meanings. And the fifth type of hajr, or abandoning the Quran, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, is seeking the shifa from it and the cure from it, whether it's the cure for what's in the heart or even in the bodies. Because it is a ruqya for the spiritual diseases And it's also a ruqya even for the physical diseases as well. Inshallah, we'll mention a bit about that towards the end of this series, inshallah ta'ala. One of the issues that we have when it comes to not being able to benefit from the Qur'an, or why we're not benefiting from the Qur'an, is that many of us, in our mentality, whether we say it or not, we kind of look like that this is a book that was sent down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, which is true, but was it just for them? This is the issue we have. When it comes to realizing the Qur'an, it's for all of mankind. And as some of the scholars mentioned, Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, or radiallahu anhuma, he said that those who were before you, they saw the Qur'an as risail. What does risail mean? Or you say like messages, huh? Is it something being sent to you from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each ayah, and this is how Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, if you really want to benefit from the Qur'an, you have to imagine that Allah is speaking to you directly. And this is what this is the reality of the Qur'an, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you. Don't think he was speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Maybe I can benefit something from it. No, he's also speaking to you, to me, to all of us. And we need to, when you pay attention to that individually, and like some of the scholars mentioned, if you get an important invitation, how does it make you feel? If you got an invitation, they say, somebody comes to your workplace and say, here's an invitation from the CEO, or here's an invitation from the Amir to attend this dinner, and it's in your name. How do you pay attention to it? Or if it's a group message on WhatsApp now, everybody's invited. Do you pay attention to it? Not really, honest. I mean, he didn't really mean me. He meant anybody who wants to come, bismillah, you're welcome. Everybody's invited. All invited. But when it comes to that in your name, registered post, here it is, to attend with the Amir or to attend with the CEO a dinner. How are you going to read that message? Carefully. You're going to examine it. You're going to read it again. You're going to go home and say, bismillah, have dinner with the family. And you're going to sit down and say, look, this is what the message said to me. Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Muhammad Mahdi, you're invited to this dinner. And you're going to pay attention to it. So like this with the Qur'an. When the ayah comes, Allah is speaking to you. Pay attention to it with this, and give the same focus and the same effort when you read it and you focus on it. And then you want to put it into action, inshallah ta'ala. So I want to ask now, why do you guys think we're not benefiting from the Qur'an? We saw the impact the Qur'an had when it was sent down, if it was sent down upon a jabal, on a mountain. We saw the impact that it had on the Sahaba and those who followed in their footsteps. So what's wrong with us? Why are we not truly benefiting from the Qur'an? We need to diagnose first. Any doctors here? Or some doctors? Or Indians are engineers only, huh? He's a doctor. Huh? Indian brothers, mashallah, most are engineers. Huh? So engineers do. Allahu barak, huh? So now, we have to diagnose, even say, okay, now we can say even in some engineering, you have to diagnose the problem, huh? Before you say how we're going to fix it. We have to see where the problem lies. So we're going to diagnose. What is the things that are holding us back and stopping us, preventing us from benefiting from the Qur'an? Go ahead, bismillah. There's no wrong answer, by the way, alhamdulillah. Well, in some of the, when I teach in different courses, sometimes write down some of the benefits. And you find that sometimes even some things that I haven't gathered, some of the brothers mentioned is very good. We write it down.
Understanding and application.
And we don't understand the Qur'an. Very good. And we don't implement the Qur'an. Very good. What else?
To be of our sins.
Our sins. Excellent.
What? To be of living our life.
The way we're living our life.
Busy.
We're too busy. We don't have time for it.
Love of dunya.
Love of dunya. Very good. All of these things are correct. What the brother mentioned, the sins. And the sins, subhanAllah, ya akhwan, we have to, how did Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sahih al-Bukhari, how did he describe the sins for the believer, the true believer? How does he feel with the sins? He said he feels like it's a mountain on top of him, about to fall down. It's crushing to him, the sin. He said the munafiq, how does he feel about the sin? Like the fly, shoo. It's a bit annoying, muz'ajani, but it's not, no big deal. Here's the fly coming now as we speak, huh? No big deal. Just get it out of the way. SubhanAllah. And many of us, even though inshallah ta'ala we're believers, we've become, and our characteristics like the munafiqeen. The sins for us are a lot of them. It's just like this. Shoo, shoo. No big deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. that the ran is put on their hearts because of the deeds that they used to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as the black dot. It's put there until it completely becomes covered in sin, so much so that it doesn't know what that which is ma'ruf, that which is good, wala yunkir, what is munkir. It doesn't deny that which is evil. It doesn't know which is good, and it doesn't deny that which is evil. So what happens to the heart? It becomes ma'kus. It becomes the opposite. Whereas now it's become to, I mean, it's become normal for us, the ma'asi in a sense. And sometimes now, so much so, we see it, it doesn't even affect us anymore. Where sometimes we do it, we don't even realize we're doing these sins. And that's why our hearts have been corrupted, and we're not benefiting from the Quran, and we're not benefiting from the Salat as well. We pray, we just go through the movements, but we're not really benefiting. And that's another, inshallah, we could talk about maybe another sitting, is how to benefit more from the Salat, inshallah ta'ala. And then what the brother mentioned as well, we don't act upon the Quran. We're not acting upon it. Now I want you to pay attention to these verses in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Quran, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ, that from Allah it's come to you nur, light, and a clear book. So it's nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the clear book. But how can we benefit from it? What do we have to do to be able to benefit from this Quran? Allah then said in the next verse, يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهِ مَنِ اتَّبَعَهُ That Allah guides with it, with the Quran, to His pleasure those who follow it. Who follows it? Allah guides with it the ones who follow it, the ones who implement and put it into action. But if we're not following, implementing the Quran, we're not going to benefit from it. If you learn teachings, Allah tells you do this and you turn away. Allah tells you don't do this and you do it. If we're not truly going back to the Quran, searching for guidance and implementing it, then we're not going to benefit from it. Also, from the things that that's holding us back, is we don't reflect, we don't make the dibble. That's what we're trying, inshallah, to revive today, is how to make the dibble of the Quran. And you're going to have a question, say, but if we don't understand, if we don't speak Arabic, inshallah, all of that's going to come, inshallah, ta'ala, with us today, inshallah. Ta'ala. When it comes to reflecting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said in the verse earlier from Surah Sa'd, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبُّرُ آيَاتِ. It's a blessed book we've sent down to you to reflect on its meanings. And how did he describe those who don't reflect on the Qur'an? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمَّ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not reflect on the Qur'an, or have locks been placed on their hearts? That's the reality of our hearts. The locks have been placed on it, so we're not benefiting from making the tadabbur of the Qur'an. Also, we do not seek guidance from the Qur'an. And subhanAllah, instead of looking in the Qur'an and reflecting on the Qur'an and want to know the answer from the Qur'an, we turn to other sources. Now if somebody, for example, many Muslims are suffering from emotional diseases. It's almost like now, very similar to what's happening in the West. When you go to the West and you read the percentages, in some areas in the West where 50% of the people, and sometimes more, they're on prescription drugs, to be able to handle the stress and the trauma and the drama of everyday life. Whereas the Muslim has the shifa and the Qur'an. If we turn to the Qur'an, bi-idhnillah, and we're seeking guidance, we're seeking shifa, Allah will help us through the Qur'an. But we turn to the other sources. We say, okay, we have to get the prescription drugs like everybody else. If we follow in their footsteps, we're going to be just like them. But we have the guidance and we have the cure, all of it through the Qur'an. Also, from the things that hold us back, as the brother said, we don't understand. And one of the key things to be able to understand the Quran, what is it? Understanding what? What's one of the key things? The Arabic language. People say, "Akhi, but it's difficult." And the crazy thing is, I'm speaking to many people now here today who speak three languages already, or four languages, some people. When it comes to Arabic, "I've tried, Sheikh, it's difficult." But when you had to learn English to become an engineer, that wasn't difficult. When you had to learn English to be in the top school in India, that wasn't difficult. When it came time for the Quran, it was too difficult for the Arabic. SubhanAllah, I remember a brother came to me, he was really into it. He said, Sheikh, I was in England. And I know many of the brothers in England, they speak either two or three languages. It depends on where mama and baba are from. So one of them, he said, yeah, I speak Urdu and Pashtun and English and maybe a fourth language, three languages he spoke, yeah. So right away I knew, because his mother and father are from different areas, he had those two languages and he speaks English. He grew up in the UK. So I said, you already have three languages. I said, you can't speak Arabic because you don't want to speak Arabic. You're not serious about it. If you really wanted to, you put in the effort. And that's how it is in life. Anything you want to do. People say, I want to get into shape. Then do it. Go to the gym, start to eat healthy, and you're going to get in shape. It happens. When you look at the TV, watch YouTube, say, man, amazing. You should look at the gym, look at they're getting big. And you just turn it off. And, hey, go do it, implement. Huh? It's not going to work. You're just sitting there watching it, or hoping or dreaming about it. You have to go out and do it. And subhanAllah, this is a general principle in life, ya akhwan. Even when it comes to business, those who are well off in the business world, the businessmen, how do they get there? Hard work, dedication, putting in the extra hours. Those who are in great shape, how do they do it? They made the time. So also, if you want to learn Arabic, you have to make the time. And I want to show you the impact of Arabic, and also the ruling of speaking Arabic, from the kalam, the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Iqtida al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, knowing that getting used to the Arabic language clearly has an immense effect on the person's mind, character, and religious commitment. And pay attention to these words of Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah. The impact that the Arabic language and understanding Arabic and speaking Arabic has upon you, he said it has an impact on a person's mind, his character, and his religious commitment. Even how you religious you are, and how you good you are in religion, it goes back to what? Knowing the Arabic language. He said it also has an effect on resembling the earlier generations of the Ummah, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Imitating them increases one's wisdom, religious commitment, and good manners. When you learn the Arabic language, and you start to implement the Arabic language, then you're going to find what? That you're resembling the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, those who came after them. When the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they went to countries, and they conquered these lands, what do they do now? Like when we go now to Europe to get the passport, we learn the language, don't we? Huh? We have to learn their language. Whereas the Sahaba, when they would go, they would teach them the language of the Qur'an, the language of the Sunnah. All Muslims used to speak Arabic. You find that the majority of Muslims around the world used to speak Arabic. When the colonization came and they were forced to learn different languages, then Arabic started to get weak throughout the Muslim world. Wallahu musta'an. So what is the ruling of Arabic? Is it just a good thing to do or something we have to do? It depends what you want to do with your religion and where you want to get with your religion. Shaykh al-Islam, in another statement, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, the Arabic language is from the religion. It's part of the religion. He said, it's from the religion. And the knowledge of it is an obligation. It's wajib. Why is it wajib? So I remember one time somebody came and said, how can you say wajib? It's not me, it's Shaykh al-Islam, first of all, who said it. But he said, no, it can't be wajib. You don't want it to be wajib, but you want it to be mustahab. But this is what Shaykh al-Islam is saying. And look at the fiqh, look at the understanding of Shaykh al-Islam, why he's saying it's wajib. He said, for surely the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah is an obligation, it's wajib. And these two are not understood except by understanding the Arabic language. Meaning you cannot properly understand them unless you what? Know the Arabic language. And then they have the principle, مَا لَا يُتَمَ الْوَاجِبِ إِلَّا بِهِ فَهُ وَاجِبِ. That which you cannot complete the wajib, act upon you except for with it, then it becomes wajib upon you to do it. You have to do it. It's not up to you. So therefore, if you really want to be able to benefit from the Quran, you need to know the Arabic language. The good news is that we can still benefit from the Quran as we're learning the Arabic language, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to show you different ways now, inshallah ta'ala. Even in your own language, you'll be able to benefit. But that doesn't mean we're not going to focus on learning the Arabic, because if we really want to truly understand, for example, if you were to look at one of the smallest surahs in the Quran, and Surah Al-Asr, we have the translation, Al-Asr, which is what? By time. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Indeed, mankind is in loss. But if you know the Arabic language, you know that's not really what it's a rough meaning of what it means. But if you know, for example, Al-Asr, when Allah starts something with Al-Qasim, by swearing about something, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that shows you emphasis, importance. And then if you look at all the ta'kidat which come after that, inna, and then the lam is another ta'kid. So you can't translate a double ta'kid. Verily, verily. It doesn't have that impact in the Arabic language. And the fact that any khusrin is nakira, this also has a meaning in the Arabic grammar and Arabic language. So once you know the Arabic, it has a much huger impact on your understanding of the Quran. The sixth reason we'll mention that we're not benefiting from the Quran is the fact that we don't know what is the objectives. What are the proper objectives of reading the Quran? And we're going to mention those, inshallah, towards the end of the second session, inshallah. So, you know, what are the objectives, al-ahdaf, of reading the Quran? And the seventh thing, and we'll mention that will be the last thing, which is that we don't make the effort. We mentioned that. If you really, really want to do something, you have to make the effort to do it. You have to put in the time. An amazing statement by Thabit al-Banani, and the same statement he mentioned when it came to benefiting from the Salat, and when it came to benefiting from the Qur'an. He said, كَابَتُ الْقُرْآنِ or كَابَتَ نَفْسِي in the other narration, and here the Qur'an, he said, عشرين سنة. Meaning, I pushed myself to do it. I made myself do it. He went through difficulty doing it. ثُمَّ تَمَتَّعْتُ بِهِ عشرين سنة. So he forced himself. He said about the Salat, and he said about the Qur'an. He said, I forced myself. I mean, he wasn't finding really that pleasure, but he forced himself to do it. 20 years. And then he said, and then I found pleasure in it for 20 years. Well, jazaa min jins al-amal. If you want something bad enough, you work, and then Allah opens up for you. Maybe, alhamdulillah, you're going to benefit along the way, no doubt. But what happened, he said, I forced myself. I pushed myself for 20 years. It's Fajr time. This is the time for the Quran. I'm reading an entire juzu. I'm tired. I don't know this. So I met one of the scholars. He was from Syria. He was living in Sudan a long time ago. And this guy, when it came to the Quran, Allahu Mubarak, never really would make a mistake. Qari, from the top Quran. And when he would read, people would break down into tears. In fact, a famous da'i, he's visited you guys here before from America, he told me his story of his guidance. When he was guided, he was about 17, 18. He didn't really know Arabic. And he said, I went to this masjid, it was close to my aunt's house, and people are crying as the sheikh is reading. So he said, whoa, he said, I used to pray, but he said, I realized there was something to Islam that I was missing. There's more to it than meets the eyes or what I thought Islam was. What's making these people cry? So he started to read, and alhamdulillah, the sheikh was speaking Fusha Arabic. So I would take my old recorder, you know, with the cassette tape, and I would record his khutbahs, and he would start to learn proper Arabic. And to the mashallah, now he became from the famous du'at in the world. The point is that he realized that the Quran had a huge impact because of how he would recite. You could feel something in his recitation and how the people would break down into tears. I visited the sheikh at his house. He said that I'm on the methodology of the Hufad. They do read 5 juzus every day. It's mandatory, 5 juzus a day. And he said, if I get sick, 2-3 days I can't read, the third day I read 15 juzus. He said, I never leave it. That's why he doesn't make mistakes when he reads it as well. I heard the Sheikh Sudeis does the same thing in the morning, between 5 and 7 juzus. Walks around and does them all in the morning. Some of them do it throughout the day, but they commit it. But once you have that commitment, eventually what? You're going to find the pleasure. And so when we want to start off, ya Khwan, we're talking about now this, to be able to make the tadabbur, to make a commitment, to at least start. You see, people get scared, talking about 5, 7 juzus. Brother's starting to get scared. So I was into it for a minute. I was buying into the... Start putting more effort into the Quran, but now, if you were to read after each salat 4 pages, what's going to happen by the end of the day? You finish the juzu.
Yeah.
End of the day, khalas. End of the month, you finish the Quran. Start there. I remember when we were studying with our Sheikh Shanqiti in the Masjid Nabawi, and we talk about Harmi Qiyam al-Layl. The first mistake that all of us make is what? We start during the last third of the night. That's the best time we get up. The Sheikh said, don't start like that. Because what's going to happen, you do it for a few days and then you quit. And how many of us have started the last few days and quit? Many of us. I'm the only one that has bad iman here, mashallah. All of you have very good iman, mashallah. So what happens is you start and you quit. So he said, make it till it becomes from your routine after Isha. Here you can force yourself to do it. And then last third of the night, Shaitan comes with all kinds, and you're half asleep, half awake, and he usually gets you. Once it becomes part of your DNA and what you're doing, so then add on 30 minutes before the adhan. Just so you pray witr then maybe. make a little dua, and then you go to Salatul Fajr. Then you start to increase 45 minutes, 1 hour, until it becomes part of who you were, or who you are. And if you look at some of the scholars of our time, Sheikh Mbaz, rahimahullah, those who know him, they said, never ever, he before in the last third of the night, before Fajr, all the time. All of his life, he was committed to it. Once you start to commit to something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you. Okay, so where do we start, ya akhwan? How can we start to revive the Qur'an in our lives and to be able to benefit, to make some tadabbur on the Qur'an? First of all, we need to start by loving the Qur'an, having true love for the Qur'an. And if you want to be able to determine, as some of the Mashaykh mentioned, different ways to determine if you love the Qur'an or not. Five different examples. And each one of us, once again, rate yourself, ya akhwan. We're here now to better ourselves. Inshallah, when we go home tonight, we want to be better Muslims. We want to be more attached, inshallah, to the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala. I believe Brother John talked about some parenting tools. We want to go back today being what? Better parents, inshallah ta'ala. This is the goal, alhamdulillah. We're always bettering ourselves as Muslims. We're always learning. Some of, from the scholars, and they have hadith, said as they were on their deathbed, he heard a fa'idah, benefit. He's dying. He said, uktubu, write it down, benefit. They never say, khalas, I'm going to die now, no need to write it. They said, no, write it down, let me benefit. From the scholars, even in our times, they said, as they're on their deathbed, they have their children and their students reading the books to them. Khalas, you don't need the knowledge anymore, do you? But it's something he's committed to, something he loves to do. Always wants to better himself. Almost, even if it's the last day, if I can learn something about Allah, learn something about my religion, I'm going to learn. So we need to what? Love the Qur'an. So from the signs that we love the Qur'an is happiness when we sit down with the Qur'an, that we feel good. When it comes time to read the Qur'an, we feel good inside. Secondly, that we miss the Qur'an, when we're away from the Qur'an. We can't wait until we get that opportunity. And I give the example, ya akhwan, when it comes to being at work. People take coffee breaks, extended lunch breaks. The whole hour, what are we doing for the lunch break? We have an hour lunch break. We eat for 10 minutes and we talk for 50 minutes. Yeah, you talk for 10 minutes to your colleagues and go read the Qur'an for 10, 15 minutes. When you have a short break, for example, read the Qur'an. When you're driving, if you're traveling, instead of checking all these messages, read something from the Qur'an. Read half a page. Some of the traffic lights, like we on the way today, how long we sat in the traffic lights? How many pages could we have read of the Qur'an if we wanted to? Benefit from the time you have. SubhanAllah, I remember when I was teaching in Dubai, I told the brother, that said, the one thing that kept me sane, because teaching is a very difficult job, SubhanAllah. And then you go in there and you feel like you come out and your head is about to explode, and you feel like, you know, what am I doing, man? I'm going to go crazy. I'm not going to be able to make it. So well, I would open up the Qur'an. Sometimes we have a 5 minute break, just 2 pages I would read. But it would change my whole mindset and change my life. So that's what kept me firm after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it kept me sane. After that, I went crazy with these kids, you know. Kids are wild. Especially the school. Because nowadays in modern education, you can't, there's no stick anymore. Huh? So you have to get them involved in their minds. It's difficult, it's not easy. Wallahi. That's why I have high respect for teachers. And the hell they go through for what they get paid, it's not easy, wallahi. May Allah bless them and bless their efforts, ya Rabbil Alameen. So the Qur'an, subhanAllah, take advantage of these times when you have these breaks to read the Qur'an. Sitting with the Qur'an for long periods of time. We're not in a hurry to get finished. We want to sit with the Qur'an as much as we can. Benefit from the Qur'an as much as we can. Also to return to the Qur'an for seeking guidance. We want to be guided. We want to know what should we do in life. We go back and we look in the Qur'an. And then the fifth thing, obeying the Qur'an. Obeying the commands in the Qur'an. All of this shows us that we love the Qur'an. And what is the relationship between loving the Qur'an and making tadabbur of the Qur'an? Who knows? What is the relationship between loving the Qur'an and being able to make tadabbur of reflecting and pondering on the Qur'an? Okay, we could say that. What else could we say? How does the love of the Qur'an make you be able to make tadabbur of the Qur'an? Acting is going to come with it, because if you love it, you're going to act upon it, and that can lead you to tadabbur, it's true.
Well, the language again plays a role here.
It could, yes. It can be any, like, but Baik will show you examples. So even your own language, you can still make some tadabbur. that when you really love the Quran and your heart becomes attached to the Quran, you're going to find what? Pleasure in reading it. And once you find pleasure and you become attached to it more, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start to open up for you the what? The reflection and the be able to ponder. It was amazing. And that's the amazing thing about the Quran when you make the tadabbur, ya akhwan, is that it doesn't stop. You know? And it never stops. You always, like, for example, you've read a surah 100 times. And then you read the 101, you're like, wow, I never thought about that before. That's amazing. Alhamdulillah. So the more you love the Quran, your heart becomes attached to it. You start to find pleasure in the recitation. When you find that pleasure, then that's when the doors of reflecting and pondering. But how, I'll give you an example from the dunya. When a student loves to study, the nerds, may Allah bless them, alhamdulillah, good students, huh? If somebody now would love to study, he enjoys it. He doesn't study because he has to study, like most of us. He studies because he enjoys it. Every day makes muraja, revise every day. You don't have to tell him, he enjoys it. He enjoys getting the books and learning and making sure he's going to get, you know, A stars and all of this. He's really into it. He's enjoying it. He finds pleasure in it. The same thing now, when you have that relationship with the Quran, you want to benefit from it. And you seek the guidance from it. And you have your heart attached. Allah is going to open up for you, inshallah, for the tadabbur as well. Today I'll give you four quick tips that can help you and help all of us, inshallah, to love the Quran more. First of all, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having strong aqidah, strong tawheed, proper tawheed. When you truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love Allah. And you know that this Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the word of Allah. It's going to make you attach more to the Quran. It's going to make you love the Quran more. And then we need to remind ourselves of the greatness of the Quran. And there are several examples. We'll mention some of them shortly, inshallah, perhaps in the next session, where Allah shows us examples of the greatness of the Quran. Through the sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ shows us the importance of the Quran and the greatness of the Quran. Also, if you go back to some of the books that have written about the Quran, to read these type of things, to revive in our hearts the greatness of the Quran. When we realize the reality of the greatness of the Quran, we're going to find that we're going to love the Quran. We have to love the Quran more. Also, seeking Allah's assistance. And there's a famous dua of the Prophet ﷺ. It's rather long, so I won't mention it. But when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about all of his names, all this, and he said, came to the way he said, to make the Quran al-Kareem rabi'a qulubina, to make the heart and nur sadri, to make it the spring of my heart and the light of my heart. And making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up for him with the Quran. So we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's assistance to make us love the Quran and to make us from the people of the Quran. And how many of us honestly have made any proper dua for that? To sit down and to put our heads on the ground in the salat and to beg Allah to be able to understand the Quran, to be able to love the Quran, to be from the people of the Quran. When we truly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallah, Allah opens the doors for us. We have ikhlas, we have sincerity. And then what? We strive. We implement. What happens? Allah opens the doors. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِي أَنَّهُمْ سُبْلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive for us, then indeed we will guide them to our ways. And Allah will be with the doers of good. That those who strive for us, that indeed we will guide them to our ways, and Allah will be with the doers of good. Allah promised you that when you strive, Allah will be there for you. He will open up for you. And then the fourth thing we need to realize, our need for the Quran. And that's the second point I'm going to mention, inshallah ta'ala, in some detail, because there's seven different things. If you pay attention, inshallah, for this session, and we have a few minutes left, and then we'll go on to the next session after Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala. There's seven different tools or tips I'm going to give you today, inshallah ta'ala, that if we start to implement them in our lives, bi'idhnillah, Allah will open up for us to be from those who make the tadabbur and ponder on the meanings of his book, and those who truly benefit from the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. So the first thing is that we love the Quran. The second thing is that we realize our need from the Quran, our need for the Quran. Once you realize you need something, what do? You strive for it all times. You make sure you pay attention to it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, I'm going to mention to you, inshallah ta'ala, three different verses. In these three different verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us 8 of the things that we benefit from the Quran. 8 things that we gain from the Quran. And it's from human nature, ayyuhal ikhwa, that when we know what we get back, we work harder, isn't it? If your boss comes and you say, "Akh, you know that if you do this and this and this, then what? The return is going to be this. You're going to get this raise, you're going to get this bonus." What's going to happen? You're going to start, I'm going to pay attention, be a little bit earlier, a little bit later, make sure the work is a bit more organized, make sure my phone is in my drawer during working hours, I'm not on my WhatsApp and things like that. Now I'm working hard. Now there's bonuses involved, there's benefits. Huh? And you should be doing that anyways, by the way. You're not supposed to be using your phone during working hours, but now we become disciplined. We become mashallah, because there's benefits involved now. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, gives us these examples. And this verse in Surah Yunus, pay attention to the verse and tell me how many different benefits we take from this verse. So we'll do some tadabbur now. Huh? We'll do a little bit of reflecting together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ." That, O mankind, there has come to you from your Lord good advice and healing for that which is in the breast of men, and guidance and mercy for the believers. How many different benefits in this verse that we gain from the Quran? 4. You can't understand the British accent. He said 4, huh? 4 different things, huh? They say as much as 4. 4. Becomes, right. I hang around him enough so I know what he meant, huh? 4 different benefits. The first is what? It's a mu'idha. It's good advice. It's a reminder to you. How many of us don't need to be reminded? And sometimes we forget what the Quran says. There it is right there. There's the answer. There's the reminder. Astaghfirullah. I shouldn't have been doing that. It's, the verse that I needed came to me. The mu'idha came to you. And then shifa lima fi sudur. It heals what's in the hearts. People have all those spiritual problems and they have all these emotional problems. This is the Quran. It's shifa lima fi sudur. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's huda. It's what? Guidance. And it's rahmah. Mercy for the believers. How many of us don't need these 4 things? We can't survive without them. We need these 4 things. It's dururi, it's a necessity. So here's 4 of the benefits that we gain from the Quran. And another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this is the last one, inshallah. And another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'akum burhanu min rabbikum, wa anzalna ilaykum nuran mubina." O mankind, a conclusive, clear proof has come to you from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. How many benefits in this ayah? 2 of them. That it's burhan. It's a conclusive proof. And when you have the Quran with you, khalas, everything in the world becomes clear. The purpose of life, how do we know it? In the Quran. It's made clear to us. What is right? What is wrong? How do we know it? It's in the Quran. If we want the brothers who are from the da'wah team, who give da'wah, what's the biggest way, the best way to give da'wah? Through the Quran. It's burhan. We need the burhan in our life. And we're going to show you some implementation, inshallah, in the next session. And once you have this burhan with you and it becomes part of your life, how it's going to help you in certain things you face. Because the Quran is with you right away. The ayah, the answer comes to you right away. Because you're living with the Quran. You're reflecting on the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. And it's also nur mubina, that it's clear light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us need that nur in our lives, that light in our lives. And the last verse we'll mention, inshallah ta'ala, in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, "Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati aqwam yubashshiru al-mu'minin alladhina ya'maluna salihati anna lahum ajran kabira." That indeed this Qur'an guides that which is most suitable, and it gives glad tidings to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a great reward. How many benefits? 2 as well. That what? Yahdi, that it guides that which is what? Better. Guides to the best way of life. And it gives the glad tidings to you. It gives glad tidings to those who do the good deeds. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. What are they going to get in return? Because alhamdulillah, this is the importance, is that we know when we leave some of the shahwat and the desires of the dunya, that we get that glad tiding, that, and you're going to get rewarded for it in the end, alhamdulillah. وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good ending is for those who have the taqwa, المتقين. So this Quran also gives us those glad tidings of what we're going to get in return for the reward for the good deeds we're doing, inshallah ta'ala. So if you notice in these three verses, how many benefits? 8 benefits that are absolute necessities, dururiyat. We have to have them in our lives. So once we realize our need for the Quran and how much we need these things, we're going to become more attached to the Quran, and we become more attached to the Quran and we love the Quran, then we're going to start to be able to open up shay of a shay. Now we're just opening up just the beginning to be able to make the dabbur, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll mention the other 5 points, inshallah ta'ala, in the next session after Maghrib. Until then, Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad wa jazakum Allah khairan.